Well, good morning. Snow's not deep, the sun is shining, and you've spent all your money on Christmas gifts, so everything is just nice, right? I saw something this week somewhere along the line of things I was reading, that God deformed us. It said sin deformed us, but I say our sin deformed us. Scripture informed us, but Jesus transformed us. So we praise him for his grace and his mercy to do that in our hearts and lives. Trust you know Christ is Savior. And if not, the opportunity is here again today by God's grace to hear his word and consider him whom to know is life eternal. Our times together are actually in Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, we're considering the first four verses, which is one sentence, and thinking about eight R words, and we're looking at that first one this morning after a bit of an introduction last Sunday morning, which I know everyone remembers exactly every word I said, so I don't have to repeat any of it. We started our service last week by thinking about the angels of heaven who were called by God as he ripped open the heavens to glorify his son, sing praises to him, make him known and declare him. And we also read in the scriptures that one day, perhaps soon, God's going to open the heavens again. He's going to return himself. And then afterward, he will again come to earth. And the heavens will be opened in order to do that. But and certainly the angels will have a great part in that of his second coming. So we have this joy here together today to think about that. And worship is all week long. And then together we gather for this worship time and trust it's a ministering to your heart. After reading that account of Luke chapter 2, and thinking on it for a moment, we did a little traveling last week. Remember that? We traveled north up into Israel and up to Mount Hermon, at the base of Mount Hermon. And there at Caesar Philippi, where the Lord Jesus asked those great questions of his disciples then, and he still asks the same questions of us, his disciples, now, as he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And we certainly get lots of responses today, as we might ask others, well, who do you think Jesus is? And of course, Christ followed up with that question that we should also follow up with, now, who do you say that I am, that Christ is? Who do you say that he is? Are you ready to give an account, speak up with regard to him and who he is, and declare this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and make him known? Of course, the answer then is the same answer we would desire and trust we would give today, that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And of course, at the place of where worship was dead, and that place called Pan at the Caesar was where the gods of nature, as they were called, were being worshipped. And there Christ takes his stand and makes a position with regard to the establishment of the ministry of the church and the carrying on of it. And here today, we are those presenting a living Savior and declaring who he is. So we know from the Bible that he, Christ, Luke 2 we read, and we know about him from that, and many know about the Christ of the manger, but we have to ask ourselves, what else do we know about him? How much beyond that? And we're become acquainted with him here in Hebrews chapter 1, and it brings to us, it presents to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So here is the one that we worship and we have in mind this morning, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke, God spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken. God who spoke has now spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained more excellent name than they. Here it is. Here's the one whom we preach and declare, gathered to worship, sung about this morning hour. One thing about coming to Maranatha, someone always has a song I've never sung before. Then that one about the candles. I never have heard that in my life. Not that my life's very long and I'm not very old, according to me. What was that? A thousand, light a thousand candles? A thousand candles. Now, who else had never sang that before? Look, you opened our eyes up to a whole bunch of folks. Well over half never had sung. And thanks for bringing that out, because our hymn books are full of lots and lots and lots of songs that we seldom use, and it's good to set forth things out of it. And I bring that out because little by little, by various parts and various times and various ways, I continue to learn things with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and that which is about him. So God, who at various times and in various ways, that is in parts and in pieces, yeah, many times in many ways has spoken in time past to the fathers, the spiritual leaders, speaking of the nation of Israel, by the prophets, and now has in these last days, the days we are living in, the days that started from the time of Christ till now, has spoken to us by his Son. His Son is his final message. He has no more revelation to give. He is the final and complete message from God. The fact is, his Son is the message. So Christ has said, the Father said of Christ, hear ye him. Hear him. I wonder if we sometimes grasp in this revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ being revealed here in these first couple of verses, how very, very gracious and kind of God to make himself known to us by way of his only begotten Son. Good for us to pause and think on such things that maybe aren't in the clarity that they would be in our hearts and eyes, but they're clear in the scriptures, that God has condescended to speak to us. I don't know about your life, but mine before Christ was rotten. A friend of mine used to say, you're just a rat. And I was. And how gracious of God to condescend, to send his Son and to have that message, his Son is the message, and to have us to hear his Son. God took the initiative. God is the one who spoke to us as we were going our way, this and that. God is the one who gave us ears to hear his word, his Son. So God took the initiative. God chose to speak to me, to us. me and all my rebellion. And all of us is those disobedient, going astray, dead in sin. But God spoke to us by way of his Son, sending his Son, and having the scriptures here before us. And he does not owe us anything. God did not owe us something and says, hey, I better speak to these people. God is not obligated to speak to us. His great grace and great mercy. This opening statement, God spoke, and God has spoken by his Son. It humbles our hearts. It ought to bring us low and to consider God, the God of the scriptures, the God I read about, he has spoken to me. How gracious of God. Good to pause and think of how gracious he is. His great love and mercy toward us. The very fact that the God of eternity, in need of nothing, all-powerful and awesome, and all that we know with regard to him, I often use the statement when I speak of God, I say the God of the Bible, so that is before us in that way. He lowered himself in order to speak to us. Amazing. It really is astounding. It should grab a hold of us. We might like the little song that's well familiar to us, picking on a little bit. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do I know it? For the Bible tells me so. At our home, I have a little plaque I picked up some time back, and it turns it around, and it says, this I love, Jesus knows me. You and I knew one another as you and I know ourselves, we would say, why would anybody ever love him, her? It's a vivid reminder that God cares about us and wants to communicate his loving grace and tender compassions. And after having communicated it to us, he desires that we would take and communicate him, his word, his Son, to others who have not heard, do not know him. So before the detailed Luke 2 account of God taking on flesh so as to speak to us, we note here that God spoke in various ways, many portions and many places down through history before the coming of his Son. And we'll look at just a little bit of that. God spoke by the fathers, the prophets, right here in Hebrews chapter 2. Got your Bible open there to Hebrews 1. Well, look at chapter 2 and just think with regard to this. It tells us in the verses, pay close attention. And so let us do that. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away, talking to believers, lest they drift away from the things of God. Many of us here know how easy it is to drift away from the things of God. Many have done it. And God, by his mercy and grace and his great love, has wooed us and pulled us back. Rather than just casting us off, he's kept us close to him. For he says in verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I pause and ask myself and ask us, are we neglecting the great salvation God has given us? Is it a Sunday morning, 1 hour worship time, when, as we mentioned last week, worship is all week long of God. God's not sitting here in the church building hoping we'll come in and worship him, you know. He is in us and with us. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Confirmed means attested, and so things of the scriptures that we have. Verse 4, God, who bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts by the Holy Spirit according to his own will, by the prophets. The lesser of what we have before us, the Old Testament, though pure and precious as it was less than the grace of God, indeed the greater, for us to think upon. And so we never are those that say, well, the Old Testament, that's there's nothing there. No, that would be untrue. But we ought to have in mind that there is that which is greater in its message, that of Christ, who as well was preached about in the Old Testament, we know. Well, we all need a doctor once in a while, so let's look to Luke the doctor and the history teacher in your Bible in Luke chapter 1 in verse 70, if you would, please. Luke chapter 1 in verse 70, as we look back how God spoke through the prophets and how there are a record of that, and we just look at very few verses here. As you got your Bible, and it's Luke chapter 1, and we have the testimony of Zacharias, father of John the Baptist. And here's what he says down in verse 70. Luke 1 in verse 70. He says, as he, that's God, spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, we have been since, who have been since the world began. He spoke, the prophets had been around since the beginning. And you move ahead to Luke's other book, the book of Acts, if you would, please. The book of Acts in chapter 3. As I turn there, I put a plug in for the morning Sunday school class at Maranatha Baptist Church. If you ever went to Bible school and you paid several hundred dollars, and now I understand very $1,000 for a credit, an hour, a class. The class that Don is teaching is worth thousands at a Bible school. You need to know that. It is extremely valuable. And I wish whatever number of years ago, 60, 65, I don't take time to figure out how old I am. It takes too long. But way back when, if I'd sat in Bible school class and I'd had a teacher of Don's caliber teaching the book of Acts, I thought I'd gotten more than my money's worth, let me tell you. You ought to be in the Bible school class. Get up earlier, have your coffee earlier, head out earlier, and be here for it. It's worth it. And all right, Don, it'll cost you $20 later for me saying that. All right, Acts chapter 3 and down at verse 18. Peter preaching, and listen to him. He says, with regard to looking back into history, the Old Testament, of course, they were right on the edge of that time, just concluding. But those things which God before by the mouth of his, what? Prophets. That the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, which is a testimony we give out to you this morning hour, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy, what? Since the world began. And he says, for Moses truly said through the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, to the Jews, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away from every one of you from your iniquities. Paul also made mention of the prophets and the giving of the word in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 2. He said, they're the gospel of God which he promised beforehand by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the Scriptures are not God, but they are God speaking. And as it would be, as God would be with us, is what he would say, because it's what he has said. He has spoken, and here's the results. And remember, perhaps, 2 Peter 1:21, men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. So when we study the Bible and you think about the Scriptures, think about God speaking before the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ, we learn here in Hebrews that he spoke in various ways, sundry ways, multitudes of pieces to put together a great puzzle. So God, through visions and dreams, face-to-face, prophets such as Moses at the burning bush, that would have been a sight, and Elijah, in a little bitty voice, was spoken to. Isaiah and the great glories of heaven. Amos in a basket of summer fruit. God spoke to the prophets. And they spoke what he said then to the people. We could just say, you want to know what God said before Christ came, read the Old Testament. Maybe you're just finishing reading it in your readings this past year, as some go through the pages of Scripture. God spoke. The Old Testament, God spoke. New Testament, God has spoken. He did speak, now he has, by way of his Son, and is yet this day through all of the Scripture. So if we understand anything about God, God must reveal himself to us. You will not get to know the God of the Bible in any other way as in the ways God wishes for you to know him than by reading the Scriptures. So when we enter in the church doors, we bring our Bible on an electronic device or in the old-fashioned way on a paper, in a book, and we open it and we read it. We think about it. We take it home with us, and we have it open, and we think about it. And we look at it. It's on our mind. We dwell upon it. It is that which becomes part of us as we think on it. We say sometimes, well, I don't remember quite what I read last week. Well, you know, it's still there, and it did you good. Like all the meals you ate last week, you can't remember one of them, but they all did you good. And so with the Scripture. Things of the Word of God. God must reveal himself. God as God can only be known through the Scriptures and what we have before us. So we are desperately in need of a revealing, a revelation, and God in his great grace made himself known to us. made himself known to us concerning himself, made us known, made known to us his plans and his will and his ways of working and his loving redemption. You could not know that outside of the scriptures. Could not know God by nature, but we know Psalm 19 tells us that there's a revealing of a creator all around us. But sin-blinded eyes cannot see it. Cannot know God by intuition or by smartness, by the process of reasoning. God is known by the scriptures. The reason most folks do not read the scriptures is because when they did or they heard about them, the scriptures did not speak so great about them. And the scripture talks about the way man is, and man don't want to hear about the way he is. And so the simple way for them not to is not to read it. And the way of life is in our society, and has been really for a long time, is because I don't want to hear about God, know the things of God, or even grasp, understand the things of God, and so I'll keep myself so busy that I don't have time to consider him. Why our nation is such a great alcoholic nation and a great sports nation. So busy, you don't have time to take a few moments. As I put it, take the book and get in a little nook and take a look and see what God has done, is doing, will do. What he has to say about you. As Jesus said to Peter, flesh, remember last week we talked about it, flesh and blood has not revealed to you who Jesus is, but my Father who is in heaven. From Matthew 16. My witnessing of who Christ is and yours is a total dependence upon the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and to do the work of God in causing a person who is spiritually dead, as you were at one time, and spiritually blind, as you were at one time, and giving you life spiritually where there was none. Flesh and blood does not reveal that to us. Our own wisdom and intuition and all that there is about us. It's God the Father. No one can speak intelligently about God without relying on this book, the book of the Bible, the revelation of God. Anyone like to build puzzles? You're not going to admit to it because you're afraid someone will give you a half a dozen of them. Puzzles can be interesting. Lots of beautiful pictures. Says it stimulates the mind. Me, it's just hard on my eyes. Puzzles are a good way to go through some time that God has given us. Well, even if we go carefully through the Old Testament, seeking to get a clear picture of God, we cannot get as clear a picture as we might like to get. Because it's kind of like a big, large, complicated puzzle. Each piece reveals something about God. But there's some very important pieces left out till you get to the New Testament. And the idea that the Holy Spirit has not revealed Christ in the Old Testament is untrue. Because the Old Testament is about Christ as well as the New. We read a couple of verses. Time is the winner and I'm losing, so we're headed for Luke chapter 24 and a couple of thoughts here. Let's pull it all together. Luke chapter 24, please, verse 44. The Lord Jesus Christ helps us to understand and to see as we read the scriptures, 24:44 of Luke, that he is throughout all of the Old Testament. Speaks with regard to 45, and it says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Reminding us, it's all about Christ. Back to verse 44, and he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, all about Christ. From Moses to Malachi. I know you say Malachi and you've been taught wrong from the beginning, but that's okay. Peter and Paul's witness tool was the Old Testament. That's what they preached from and had about the Lord Jesus. They certainly didn't have the wonderful, beautiful literature that we can get. I mentioned a booklet last week and a great little book, The Ancient Paths, a great one to give out. They didn't have that. Can you imagine Peter and Paul having a handheld computer and walking up and presenting to someone Christ? Can be done, you know. Beautiful little instrument to have and to use. And it's what people are familiar with. And it's a great place to have something in mind to tell folks to look up on their phone. My wife and I were dining out once in a place called Baltimore, and I was emphasizing, and I might have mentioned this, my excuse is I'm old and I forget. But anyway, we were on the boardwalk there and stopped in for dinner at a place we couldn't afford. We found out later, but we ate there anyway. And a gentleman, a Muslim man, I wanted to give him a Gospel of John, and I told him I like to leave with people the Gospel of John. I said, I don't have it, but if you'd look up on your phone, you got a phone, right? Would you look up the Gospel of John and see what God has to say to you? Do it sometime when you get home tonight. And it wasn't long and he came back as our waiter, and he said, I looked that up. It's right there on my phone. John, the Gospel of John. And I hope he read it, you know. I trust he read it. And that we are those that do the reading of the things of the Word of God as well. You can give it out. There's a magazine, perhaps you get it, called Bits and Pieces, all sorts of stuff that people don't need to have. And that's the way the scriptures are given, the Old Testament, bits and pieces, as they taught about God and about Jesus who was to come by bits and pieces. They did not know that, that God was speaking to them and that there was more to be said later. And we close by looking at 1 Peter in chapter 1 and thinking on this, that as you study and turn the pages of Scripture, you discover more and more about Christ himself. We can always grow in the things of Christ. After many years of preaching multitudes of sermons on Christ, we still stand in awe of who he is, what he has said, what he is doing, what he is going to do, and what's going on with regard to life. 1 Peter 1, as you look at your Bible down there in verse 10, speaks of the salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So we're to gird up the loins of our minds with regard to that. God, who at various times, various places, spoke to the fathers, has spoken to us through his Son. The Old Testament prophets taught the doctrine of salvation. The Old Testament prophets researched and investigated salvation. Have you? The Old Testament prophets tried to find out the time and the circumstances the Spirit was pointing out to them about Christ. The Old Testament Spirit In the Old Testament, the Spirit predicted Christ's sufferings and the glory that would follow. All the Old Testament teaching us to study the Scriptures that we might be wise unto salvation. Are you wise unto salvation? My father died not knowing Christ. And he was kind of a wise guy when it came to the things of the Scriptures. And I remember one time late at night he came home because he had been away getting lights put on a log truck he'd bought. It was a late night job. But anyway, he came home chuckling and said something about the man up there at the garage, he said, hell's not so bad anymore. Why, you don't even have to shovel the coal. You just got automatic stuff for that. You know, such ignorance of God, grace, and hell. They're not good for us. He knew not Christ. Do you, is the question. Do you know Christ of the Bible? The one who has made him known to us. Gracious God, we'll pray, our Father, apply the Scripture by your Spirit as you can, for we cannot do it as we might or properly, but we thank you that the Word never returns void, and you'll work it in my heart and each one here. We'll thank you in Christ's name.